Amen. God bless you, Brother Chris, and thank you, choir, for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find John chapter 16 and verse 16. John chapter 16 and verse 16. I am grateful and thankful for the songs that Brother Chris chose this morning for our time of worshiping through music. And I hope and pray that you have taken the opportunity to allow those songs to minister to you. When we come to the house of the Lord and we sing, yes, we are singing unto the Lord first and foremost, but we are also allowing the words of those songs, and the Lord used the words of those songs to minister to us. And so, I know that you probably wonder, and it's a valid question, what do you guys do all day? I was at the gym not that long ago, and there was a guy that I was working out with at the same time fairly regularly, and he said, "I see your truck at the church all the time." And I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor of that church." And he said, "Well, what else do you do?" Valid question. So I know if you have that question about me, you certainly have that about a minister of music. I mean, what do they do? Well, again, think about those songs. God is in control. Holy, holy, holy. And we have 10,000 plus reasons to thank the Lord. And so this morning, you may be in a trial or a tribulation, and yet, when kept in proper perspective, we have thousands and thousands of reasons to bless the Lord. In that song, Cornerstone, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Amen? And then, Christ the sure and steady anchor. When the tempest is blowing, and we hold fast to the anchor, which is Christ Jesus, we can persevere. And so, believe it or not, it's not that Chris just said, I wonder what songs, let's look on the internet. Here we go. It actually involves some time, some energy, some effort. God bless you, Brother Chris. Thank you. We are in John 16, and in John 16, in the life of these disciples, it is a difficult time. If you were here last Sunday morning, Brother Ronnie led us through the first half of John 16. So remember that we're still on Thursday night. We're still on Thursday night of the last week of Jesus' life before the cross on Friday and the resurrection on Sunday. And there in the upper room previously, Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet, including Judas. Jesus shared with them the Passover meal, what would foreshadow what we do today, called the Lord's Supper. He then says to Judas, face to face, eye to eye, man to man, what you do, do quickly. And Judas left. And then I believe, if you're looking at the very last verse in chapter 14, that Jesus and the 11 then begin to make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. as he says there in John 14, 31, let us get up and go from this place. And so they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where that arrest and where that betrayal would take place. And so it's late on Thursday evening. It's approaching midnight of Friday morning. Jesus has already said to his disciples, one of you will betray me. He's predicted that Peter would deny him three times. And he has tried to prepare these men for life without him. And so absolutely, positively, these are difficult times. And some of you here this morning, you may be in your own difficult time. Maybe your marriage is not what you would like it to be. Maybe your relationship with your children is strained. Maybe you owe X amount of money and the creditors are calling. Maybe you have some health challenges. Maybe things at work are in turmoil. And certainly there are a thousand other different trials and tribulations that you may be experiencing. But in difficult times, how do you and I respond? How do we react? Well, last week, in the beginning of John 16, Jesus, and really today is a continuation. If you had a good enough pastor and preacher, he could have preached this entire chapter in one message. But yet you're stuck with me and Brother Ronnie. And so we've divided it up. And last week at the beginning of John 16, Jesus says, remember that I know the future. I know that you're going to get expelled from the synagogue. I know that even some will take your life because of me. Okay, Brother Richard, how does that help me? Well, in difficult times, remember that Jesus knows the future because Jesus is God. Jesus is all-knowing. And because he is God, I would say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that he is in control. And you may think in your own life, it may seem when you watch the news or hear about what is going on that the world is spinning out of control. And I would say to you, Jesus is in control. Nothing will take him off his throne. He knows the future because he's God. And because he's God, he is in control. Jesus also said to the disciples, in this particular instance, speaking of the future, you and I have the privilege of looking back and understand this is an event in history. But Jesus said, not only in difficult times should you remember that I know the future, but also remember, I'm going to send to you my Holy Spirit. Or we understand today, in difficult times, remember, Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And God's word tells us that the Holy Spirit is not just among us, is not just on us, but is literally in us. If you have received Christ as Savior and Lord, the third person of the Godhead is residing in you. And let me remind you of this verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. The same author who wrote John's gospel also penned 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you, brothers and sisters, than he that is in the world. You're in the midst of difficult times. You're in the midst of trial and tribulation. If you are a follower of Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen and amen. And so Jesus is continuing this thought. In difficult times, I would say to us this morning that verses 16 through 33 remind us to remember Easter. Remember Easter, yes. Remember what took place on Resurrection Sunday. The dead came to life. If you have found John chapter 16 and verse 16, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word if you are able? I'll be reading verses 16 through the end of the chapter. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, over these next few moments, would you please give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your word for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. In difficult times, remember that Jesus knows the future. in difficult times, remember that Jesus sent his Spirit. And in difficult times, remember, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is alive. He is alive today. And that is what Jesus is saying. That is what he is foreshadowing here, beginning in verse 16. A little while and you will not see me. Because on Friday of this week, Jesus would die on a cross in our place and for our sin. And he would be buried on that Friday evening in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And be in that tomb parts of 3 days, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. Because remember, Jesus is alive. He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in that tomb. His disciples were confused about this. Weren't exactly sure what he was saying. They were questioning one another there in verse 17 and verse 18. Jesus got wind of it. Verse 19, he goes back and says, "You don't understand? You don't understand what I've been telling you, that a little while you won't see me, but then a little while you will see me." Verse 20, "I say to you that you will weep and lament." And they would. And they did. When Jesus died on the cross, when they saw with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, the hammer driving the stake into his flesh. They wept. They lamented. But the watching world, the unbelieving world, what did they do? They rejoiced. And you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. And what a glorious experience every Easter is. When the body of Christ comes together to remind one another that in fact Jesus is alive. Jesus uses an illustration here. There in verse 21. And our mothers this morning can identify. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. Being the father of three daughters, my wife has told me, in fact, this is true. Some of the most, if not the most, excruciating pain. And yet, when the mother and the father, but specifically for verse 21, the mother has a chance to hold that newborn baby in her arms. I can't say that I know that the pain is gone, but now, at least temporarily, the pain and the anguish has been replaced by the joy of holding your newborn son or your newborn daughter. And so in difficult times, verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, Jesus says, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Brothers and sisters, in difficult times, remember that Jesus is alive and rejoice. Rejoice. You find that word rejoice in verb form or the noun form joy there in verse 20 and again in verse 21 and twice in verse 22. And regardless of what our difficulty is this morning, don't forget that Jesus is alive. Don't forget that, in fact, the tomb is empty. And in no way, shape, form, or fashion do we want to minimize legitimate grief and legitimate hurt and legitimate pain this morning. And I don't think that's what Jesus does here, but he does remind us that he is alive. And when you put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not to say that you will live a problem-free life. It's not to say that you won't experience trials and tribulations, because I know from personal experience that I've experienced, as well as from pastoring a church, that no one in the room this morning is immune from trial and tribulation. It's not that it's just for the immature Christians or the less mature Christians or the less faithful Christians, but everyone in the room this morning, young or old, male or female, member or guest, every follower of Christ is either in a trial, has just come out of a trial, or will soon be in a trial. And so what do? We remember that Jesus is alive. We rejoice because Jesus has given us ultimate victory. Let me remind you of some passages of Scripture that we find in the New Testament. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 for just a moment. Romans chapter 6, Paul writing in verse 8 says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God." Verse 11. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Brothers and sisters, not only is Jesus is alive, but guess what? You and I are alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Paul concludes this 15th chapter to the Corinthian church all about the resurrection, and he says, "But thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Colossians chapter 2, and verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." And then finally, 1 John chapter 5. Again, the writer of 1 John is the same writer of this fourth gospel. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, read, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you believe that this morning, brothers and sisters? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, guess what? Because he's alive, you and I have victory. Ultimate victory through our relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore we can rejoice. We don't ignore that we have problems. We don't ignore that that we have difficult situations. We don't ignore the pain and the grief and the hurt, but we understand that they are temporary. Because we have victory through Jesus Christ. We remember that Jesus is alive and we rejoice. Also, beginning in verse 23, we remember that Jesus is alive and we can pray with confidence in difficult days. Look at verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing, speaking of when Jesus has ascended, when he's no longer with them personally. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So Jesus is advocating, praying to the Father. And we know this also to be true. This is not to say that we can't or shouldn't begin our prayers with dear Lord Jesus. But we also know that when Jesus taught us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount and through the Lord's Prayer, he begins that how? Our Father, which art in heaven. And here in John 16, verse 23 and 24, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a trite tagline that we put on any and every prayer. It's not this mindset of a genie in the bottle. Oh, I'll say in Jesus' name. It's like rubbing the lamp and then the genie will grant me three wishes. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking making sure that our prayers and the desires of our heart are aligned with the desires of his heart. And I confess to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that sometimes that isn't true of me. That I am tempted to pray selfishly. I'm tempted to pray self-centeredly. I'm tempted to pray egotistically rather than praying in Jesus' name. You want to know how to pray absolutely, positively in Jesus' name? Pray God's word. Pray God's word. Pray, husbands, that God would help you be a more godly husband. Now that's a prayer right there that he's willing to answer and wants to answer. Pray that your friends and family and relatives and co-workers will be convicted of their lostness and put their faith in Christ. That's a prayer that God wants to answer. Pray that you would honor the Lord with your finances, that you would honor the Lord with your parenting. That is a prayer that God the Father wants to answer. And those are prayers in Jesus's name. How do you know that, Brother Richard? Because being a godly husband is exactly what Ephesians 5 teaches us, brothers. And God saving individuals from their lostness is the message of the Bible. That God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place and for our sin, so that anyone and everyone who believes will be saved. God wants you to honor him with your finances. He wants you to honor him with your parenting. And so, in difficult times, we can remember that Jesus is alive and pray with confidence. I mean, after all, if God the Father can bring God the Son back to life, you think he can't save your marriage? You think he can't save your wayward child? You think he can't turn your business around when you honor him with your business? You think he can't prosper you financially when you recognize that he's the owner of all and you give him the first fruits of your income? He brought his son back to life. He can do all of those things in your life. He can do all of those things in my life. Verse 25, these things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father, talking about his ascension. And then, as we already said this morning, Jesus is in fact God, and that's the conclusion that the disciples come to at the end of verse 30. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. So in difficult times, remember that Jesus is alive and rejoice. And in difficult times, remember that Jesus is alive and pray with confidence. And then number three, in difficult times, remember that Jesus is alive and receive the peace that he offers. Look at verse 31. Jesus questions them, oh really, you do believe? Because he then predicts their leaving him. Verse 32, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own. And will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Notice what it says there, brothers and sisters. Does he say that you might have tribulation? No. He says you will have tribulation. Which again reminds me as to what I said previously. No one in the room this morning is immune from trial and tribulation. Trial and tribulation will affect every person in the room at some point, sooner or later. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Your most recent trial, your most recent tribulation may have knocked you for a loop. And I'm sorry. I hate that. But I want you to know that Jesus has overcome the world. And he wants to give you peace this morning. Peace in your heart. To remember that he's in control. To remember that he has sent us his Holy Spirit. And again, remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And this is not meant this morning to be some pep rally for your faith, but to remind you of what God's word says. When the devil will try to tell you, if not right now, as soon as you walk out these doors, because he cannot endanger your eternity, but he will do his best to make your life on earth right now a literal living hell. But Jesus has overcome the world. And Jesus wants you to have peace in your heart this morning. And so keeping things in perspective and rejoicing because the tomb is empty. And because we can pray, we can go to the Father. And if God the Father brought His Son from the grave, He can accomplish what concerns us the most. And He wants you to have that peace. That peace to remember that Jesus has overcome the world. I don't know what your trial and tribulation is this morning, but I pray that you would remember that Jesus is alive. And if you have never put your faith in Christ as Savior, you don't have the peace that Jesus is speaking of here. You're not at peace with God because you don't have the peace of God, and vice versa. You don't have the peace of God because you're not at peace with God. Well, God's Word tells us the only way that we can be at peace with God is through our faith in God's Son. And so if you're here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to respond publicly to the preaching of God's Word. And as we're standing and singing this morning, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, but today you're willing to do that, God is convicting you of your lostness, and you're ready to put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold and very courageous, and that's to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. Brother Ronnie and I will greet you, welcome you, congratulate you, celebrate with you, and pray with you, and rejoice that God has saved you. Maybe you're here today and you're in the midst of a trial and tribulation. Maybe you want to come and pray on your own. Maybe you want to come and pray with a family member. Maybe you want to come and pray with me or Brother Ronnie. You're welcome to do that. We'd love for you to do that. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest and the Holy Spirit is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you this morning. But in difficult days, in difficult times, in trials and tribulations, don't forget what we just celebrated two Sundays ago. Remember Easter. Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that we're not just reminded of Jesus being alive on Easter Sunday morning, on Resurrection Sunday morning, Lord, but let us remember that each and every day, for that is the game changer, Lord, that Jesus is alive. And so, Father, even as so many in the room this morning are experiencing trial and tribulation, I pray that you'd give them peace in their heart and joy in their heart. Empower their prayers and praying confidently. Father, I ask and pray that today we would remember that Jesus is alive. Lord, we trust you to do your work in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives, as we now respond publicly to your word. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front today, we would invite you to respond to God's word.